Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Carborundum Universal Limited Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call, hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to the 1Q FY 2024 earnings con call of Carborundum Universal Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. C. Sridharan Rangarajan, the Managing Director, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, the CFO, Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor, Investor Relations, and Mr. Dinesh Kumar, Senior Manager, Strategic Planning. Without any further ado, I would request the management to share their opening remarks post the results. Over to you, sir.
Good morning to all of you, and a warm welcome to our first quarter call. I would request my colleague, Chandramouli, to read out the general disclaimer, and then we will start the call.
Good morning. During this call, we may make certain statements which reflect our outlook for the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statement. These statements are based on the management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Thank you.
Thank you, Mouli. So let's begin the call. I trust all of you are safe, your family are also safe and well. Today, I'm joined in this call, Mr. Padmanabhan, our CFO, Chandramouli, our Investor Relations Person, Dinesh, our Strategic Planning Head. We will begin this call by providing a broad outlook and summary, and then we will take in your questions. Before I start, I would like to place on record the company's appreciation and thanks to Mr. Ananta Seshan, who has retired as Managing Director of the company after reaching 60 years of age. Mr. Anant served the company over 37 years in various capacities. We wish him well in his retirement. The company has begun this financial year with a solid start. We are glad to report yet another quarter of robust performance and a solid start to FY 2024. For the quarter, our revenue have grown by 6% quarter-over-quarter to 1,191 crores at consolidated level, and by 10% to rupees 659 crores at standalone level. The growth was majorly driven by ceramics, and the growth from abrasives and electrominerals has been steady. All major overseas subsidiaries have performed well. Profit after tax and non-controlling interest grew by 44% to 113 crores against rupees 79 crores at consolidated level. You would note that we delivered 137 crores in Q4 FY 2023, and this included an exceptional income of rupees 25 crores. In the current quarter, we delivered similar PAT without one-time exceptional income. PAT margins improved from 7% to 9.5% quarter-over-quarter at consolidated level. At the standalone level, the PAT increased by 28% to rupees 993 crores from 73 crores. During the last year, same quarter, this was mainly on account of margins coming back to normal in abrasives standalone and improvements in margins of ceramic business. PAT margins improved from 12.1% to 14.1%. Coming to the subsidiaries' performance, among the overseas subsidiaries, QME America performed significantly well in terms of top line and the bottom line. QME Australia grew well and profits were better. Polsky Abrasive Works, Russia, and Fosca Zirconia, South Africa, was almost flat on top line. QME Middle East and QME China, the company has cut down its operation, as you all know. On the other hand, domestic subsidiaries have grown in double digits over the last year, whereas our energy generation business, SETCO, had some challenge in terms of the bottom line due to a steep rise in cash price. And we are working in terms of how to recover. In terms of the capex at consolidated level, we spent 55 crores in the first quarter. I will now cover the segmental performance. Abrasives consolidated revenue for the quarter was almost flat at 519 crores compared to 513 crores in Q1 of the last year. Standalone grew by 5% to 282 crores. Sterling, American subsidiary VAW and Awuko delivered 24 crores of incremental sales. Closure of China, lower volumes in Rhodius, reduced rupees 14 crores of sales. On sequential basis, sales degrew by rupees 6 crores. Standalone abrasives, Sterling, QME America and VAW combined together gave an increment of 12 crores, whereas Rhodius dropped by 15 crores. Abrasives India has grown 5% compared to Q1 of the last year, but was almost flat sequentially. Coated retail segment is facing challenges after increase in supplies from China and new entrants in the segment. All other segments in abrasives are doing well. We expect to hit overall 8% to 10% growth at the full year level. The focus has been on improving the margins, which have come down significantly in the last few quarters. We focused on product mix optimization, increasing sales in value-added products, and improving internal efficiencies, which helped us to bounce back to the previous margins in the range of 15 to 16% compared to 12.1% in Q1 of the last year. Rhodius in Q1 achieved the net sales of €15.5 million compared to €17.4 million in Q4 of FY23 and €18 million in Q1 of the last year. We communicated in the last call that Rhodius is planning an 8 to 9% growth in FY24. We also said that the energy cost increase could be in the range of €2.2 million to €2.5 million, and our team will try their best to offset these. The price increase put up to offset the cost push resulted in lower order intake, which impacted the overall sales. We are also seeing softening of demand in parts of Europe. Our revised outlook is a flattish top line. Last year, we delivered a loss of 4.7 million, which included one-off cost of €2 million and a PPA write-off of €2.8 million. We expected this year with higher top line, we could deliver a small profit, but with softening in demand and increase in energy costs, we can expect a similar loss in line with that of the last year. This is our current outlook. We have 8 more months and we are looking into all possible options to minimize these loss and improve the performance. Coming to Awuko's performance, this quarter they achieved €2.5 million sales against €2.6 million in Q1 as well as Q4 of the last year, last financial year. Losses in Q1 was 0.7 million against the loss of 1.2 million in Q4. The cost control efforts as well as drop in input costs helped to minimize the losses. We communicated in the last call, the losses in FY24 will be around 2.5 million, We expect AWUKO to break even by FY25. We maintain the same outlook. Coming to the bottom line performance for the quarter, profit and loss before finance cost and tax at consolidated level was 31 crores against rupees 18 crores in Q1. The increase predominantly coming from standalone margin moving from 12.1% to 15.3%. Better performance at Sterling and closure of China. Coming to the bottom line performance for the quarter, profit and loss before finance cost and tax at consolidated level was 31 crores against rupees 18 crores in Q1. The increase predominantly coming from standalone margin moving from 12.1% to 15.3%. Better performance at Sterling and closure of China. Sequentially, PBIT margin dropped from 32 crores to 31 crores. This is due to lower profits in India, CUMI America, Middle East and China. Margins at consolidated level dropped from 7.3% to 6% sequentially, but improved from 3.5% in Q1 of the last year. Electro Minerals consolidated revenue for the quarter was rupees 418 crores versus rupees 406 crores in Q1 of the last year, resulting in an increase of 3%. And standalone Electro Minerals grew at 10% quarter over quarter to 197 crores from 179 crores in Q1 FY23 and grew by 11% sequentially. Volsky Abrasive Works, Russia and Foskor Zirconia, South Africa was almost flat quarter on quarter and marginally lower when compared to sequentially. For the quarter, profit before finance costs and tax at consolidated level was 74 crores, gains 59 crores in Q1, predominantly contributed by better performance of VA. PBIT at standalone level, it grew by 59% to 23 crores and sequentially and degrew 25% quarter over quarter after easing in commodity price impacting the realization of our products and higher input costs. Coming to performance of VAW, despite challenges due to ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict, the team at VA is continuing to manage this well and taking suitable actions every time. The operations are running well and the installed capacities are being utilized well. VAW delivered its higher ever quarterly sales of ruble 2.4 billion in this quarter compared to ruble 2.12 billion prior quarter and ruble 2.11 billion in Q1 last year. This was mainly on account of higher realization across all three segments as well as weaker ruble against US dollar and euro. They delivered a profit of 417 million ruble, which is again highest in any quarter. Rubles were converted on an average of 1 ruble, which is equivalent to 1.01 INR for this quarter, compared to 1.16 in Q1 in FY23. You would note that the average for FY23 was 1.23. Capacity utilization is normal and they are able to sell more in Russia. The mix towards Russia sales domestically has increased to 60% in the first quarter. VA is able to collect all its receivables. They continue to be debt-free and outlook remains stable and positive. As far as ceramics business is concerned, ceramics consolidated revenue for the quarter were higher by 18% at 287 crores as against 243 crores in Q1 of the last year and sequentially it was 265 crores. Standalone ceramic grew by 19% to 231 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis on account of strong demand across end-user industries and geographies and grew 9% sequentially. Subsidiaries in Australia and America registered significant growth as well. Profit before finance costs and tax at consolidated level grew by 39% to 81 crores from 58 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis and grew 31% sequentially at standalone level. It grew by 38% to rupees 62 crores quarter on quarter. This was majorly on account of growth in volume, realization and product mix. There was 58 crores of debt at standalone books and total debt at consolidated basis was at 178 crores compared to 232 crores as of March 23. The debt equity ratio was at 0.06 at consolidated level. Cash and cash equivalent including deposits with maturity exceeding 3 months at net of borrowing was 190 crores. I would like to end the opening remarks with a small summary. Performance of the company in Q1 is good. Electrominerals, ceramics and non-retail portion of the abrasives are performing well. Russia and South Africa are doing fine. Awuko progress is in line. There's a softening of demand in Europe and Rhodius is working on an effective response plan. Company remains debt-free. We feel stable, standalone growth could be in the range of 15% and consolidated could be in the range of 10%. And standalone and consolidated PBIT margins compared to FY23 should improve. With that, I think we will complete the opening remark. We'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital, erstwhile IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So my question, first question is on the abrasive segment on the standalone basis. you know, the demand still continues to remain fairly muted because, you know, the revenues are still at around sub 5% kind of a growth, or just about that. So what is the outlook in the domestic market and how is the competition from the Chinese, which had kind of picked up in the last 6 months, does that still continue? So that's my first question.
Yeah, so I think, as I said, except the retail segment, we are doing fine in rest of the segment and the growth rates are in double digit. We feel the challenge is largely in the retail segment where, you know, there could be some dumping happening from China. And, of course, there's going to be a response which will take some time. And as I said that, you know, we could be looking at a broad 10% growth, which is what I indicated, at the full year level. This is, we feel that retail could be flat or slightly lower. This is our current thinking and our team is putting together a response plan for that. Other than that, I think the standard industrial side, precision side and the international exports are all doing fine.
So 10% would be the abrasive standalone entity growth?
Yes.
Okay. So here we were, you know, obviously Rhodius, there is a challenge, as you mentioned, but there was also a plan to kind of, you know, bring the technologies and the practices that they have on the thin wheel and the lower end category out here. What is the progress on that aspect for improving the abrasive, you know, cost competitiveness in the local market?
So the bringing technology of Rhodius is not to address the cost competitiveness in India, but it will address the cost competitiveness in Europe. By having product manufactured here, we will be able to supply to the Europe well, which are all like, you know, the baseline products. which is, I think we are progressing well. I think we will take 18 months by the time we will have these work that whatever we are doing currently, we will do that, which requires, like, for example, we are currently working on EVOSA certification, which is a base level requirement, and the audits are currently going on. Once that is there, then we will have the next step, which is basically creating an environment of manufacturing at their quality level and start supplying to that. So that program is very much on.
Okay. So my second question is on the EMB segment and our new initiatives out there. What is the progress of the high priority SIC that we were looking at? We were already in pilot stages out there. Industrial sector was much ahead than India. So what is the progress out there? And also, if I may just squeeze in on the progress of the SOFC within the ceramic segment.
So the as far as the in terms of the high purity silicon carbide, we are doing it at both in Korati as well as in Russia, and these are at the, I would say, lab scale where we are testing these products and creating confirmatory results for various parameters, which requires, like, you know, are we able to achieve the 4N's and 5N capability, and that is what we have done, and we have reasonably achieved the 4N capability, and we are progressing towards work towards on the 5N side of it, and we are also in the meantime setting up a plant in India. And that will convert it from a lab scale to a small mini plant at this point in time. That's what we will get into that. As far as SOFC is concerned, I think the progress is quite decent. We have been fully utilizing our capacity. One of our major customers is doing well, and that progress is really well as far as QMI is concerned, and the progress in terms of further parts that we can supply in the SOFC field is also very much in line with the time scale that we are working with the customers.
Sure. So just one follow up on the high priority silicon, you know, when do we see that progressing from a lab phase to a revenue? And within the SOFC, you know, what is the kind of revenues or run rate that you are operating at, and what can you possibly get to over the next 2 to 3 years?
See, high purity silicon carbide setting up could take a year, and then we will start supplying these products. So I would say it might take a year to set up and then establish ourselves another year. SOFC, I think we don't share an individual component-wise details as far as the industrial ceramic piece is concerned. But, it's a very, sizable portion of our business, and we are progressing well there.
Sure, sir. I'll come back in the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good
afternoon. The question is on VOCO, where it's a little disappointing to your expectations. So could you talk about the cost takeout initiatives, given that passing on price increase and increased cost is difficult. So how do you scale up in the revenue, which is very critical for you to turn around? And is the eventual plan of 11% still intact?
I missed your first sentence. Could you repeat? Are you talking about Rhodius?
Yes. The question is on the road years where the performance has been below your expectations. And so how do you take out costs as you're not able to pass on the price hikes? And
absolutely.
Your guidance of 11% margins over
the Yeah. No. Very fair question. I think, so first of all, the biggest portion of it is the energy cost. So these costs are contracted much in advance, and that is okay. We had a benefit of that in our favor last year, but that is impacting us in the current year. So as we see, the cost of gas prices have come down, and I think our contract, once it's over in the current year, we expect that will taper down, and that is, we are currently seeing that. The second is, we are also working in terms of improving the product output, which is basically, some rework in terms of material preparation investment that we have done, as well as in terms of line balancing, that the work that Rodius is doing. We feel that would also help us to bring the cost down. To your question of will we get to the 12% that we indicated to you in terms of the PBIT margin, we are still confident of getting that. I don't think we have any doubts on that. It's a temporary phase. I would say that the softening what we are currently seeing, products are in demand, but at the same time we have to recognize the fact, Europe is going through, a demand challenge. So hence, I think it is important to bring this up, and that's how we are sharing the current outlook. As I said, that we still have 8 months to work on in terms of any other possibility of bringing these. And see, some of these contracts are with private label partners, happens much in advance. So hence we need to work with each one of them and win these orders, which we are definitely working on. How can we load the business in such a way that we get the benefit of the, volume, and that's what we are currently working on as well.
So the second question is on the industrial ceramics piece of the business, and within that, where we've seen that refractories is a piece where we are running full out despite the strong growth. Could you just give us outlook on the new expansion initiatives in the refractory space and also the other expansions in the ceramics segment?
So ceramic segment, I think, has got two components, the refractories and industrial ceramics. Both the components are doing well, and in fact, the refractory side of it is definitely, edging higher than industrial ceramics at this point in time. And all our programs in terms of the capacity expansions, investments in latest process, all that is fully on stream. Nothing is held back. We don't see capacity coming in way as a constraint.
Okay, so just a follow-up here. What is the outlay towards the expansions in the industrial and the refractories, and what will be the volumetric expansion? Will it like double or so the current capacities?
So I think, see, if you really see this year, I think they have the Q1, they have grown at about 19%, and we should expect a 20%+ growth is very much possible.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for taking this.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the standalone electro minerals margins. We have done 11.6% in the first quarter, which is very much below our guided range of 14% to 15%. While I understand that we had done some structural improvements in the past couple of years, such as producing the synthetic version of brown-faced alumina, modernization of furnaces to increase the process yields, and so on and so forth. So any specific reasons you would want to call out here?
Absolutely. Great observation, and I think largely coming out of the softening of the market, coming basically import from, you know, China that is coming in this way. That's the biggest reason for the drop. But we still feel that at a full year level, 13 to 14% we will be looking at as a EBIT margin. That's still our aim. And I think the outlook for the next few quarters, when we went through that, we feel confident about that.
So just a follow-up to that, in the VAW Russia, since we are already operating at flat-out capacities, how we are planning to grow over there? Because as I understand, the realizations are coming down. And if we are not able to grow the volumes because of the capacity constraint, then how will we achieve any kind of revenue growth over there?
So I think I would look at it in two parts. I'm not sure where you are getting the idea that the realizations are coming down. Average realization in ruble terms is higher. They're able to flux the mix more towards the domestic one. But your observation of, the volume growth is a fair observation. But given the market conditions, which is largely a geopolitical issue, we are waiting and watching. We did one cell expansion last year, and I think that is on stream, and that will help us to a bit. But I think we would have wait for, things to stabilize before we take the next call.
Understood. So my second question is on the standalone abrasives. So the revenues have been stagnant around 280 crores since last 7 quarters now. So you have already mentioned about the heightened competition from Chinese products, especially in the retail counters. So just wanted to check if we have deliberately scaled down a particular product group or a customer set, or is this softness entirely due to the normalcy coming back to the Chinese imports?
So I would like to split this into two parts. One, the part that is on the retail side of the abrasive business, and the part which is on the industrial side of the abrasive business, both on precision and standard industrial product side. We feel that on the retail side, we see this challenge coming. But on the rest of the side, we are able to see the growth. And as I said, that the growth on those side will be double digit, with the retail either at flat or slightly lower than the last year, we are expecting about 9 to 10% growth. But I think this is our current outlook. Our people are working in terms of how should we work on a response plan in terms of addressing this. It is a fact that we have been flat for a couple of years. We are conscious and we will get back. I think give us about 6 quarters in terms of how do we respond to that. We are working on multiple strategies to address this.
Understood. So just a small follow-up to that. Have we reduced the prices of our products as input costs have started coming down, or the pricing remains at the same level as before?
So prices are responded based on the market condition, which is, as the input cost is coming down, definitely people expect this, and we are also responding based on the market situation. But at the same time, we are able to improve the margin. If you look at our margin has gone up, and we are in the range of 15.3 or 15.4.
Right, sir. Right. Understood, sir. Thank you very much for answering my questions and all the rest.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the industrial ceramic side, where we are witnessing a strong growth, and you highlighted at least 20% growth. I just wanted to understand, sir, we have been talking about product advancement here and largely this business being global in nature. Would like to understand, are we increasing our addressable market with new products in pipeline? If you would highlight like we did for matte cylinder. And at the same time, if you would like to highlight the contribution from metallized cylinder in industrial ceramics and how the growth has been there.
Yeah, I think we are definitely trying to improve our product range and service the customer. And as the customer also expects us to move along with their own, you know, growth as well. Like, you know, a lot of our customers are asking us, you know, can we supply a part which probably they are sourcing elsewhere at this point in time. So definitely these programs are there, and some of them are very interesting areas that we are working on, which I think we will start playing out, you know, in future. Similarly, even in the refractory also, we see that quite an interesting demand, you know, overseas exports is really picking up, and that is also helping us in terms of the growth. So I would say that both these engines are currently firing well, and we are doing, you know, the right steps in terms of addressing that.
Right. My next question is on abrasives. You did highlight it on retail side, we are facing headwinds. So how much is the retail portion in abrasives? And second question on the Rhodius abrasives, you did highlight it that the major advantage would be the taking cost advantage in India and selling products there. So what is the utilization there, and how we are actually thinking to increase utilization in Rhodius abrasives in coming quarters?
So as far as the retail is concerned, we are in the range of about 30% to 35% is our share of our business is the retail. And as far as the Rhodius abrasive, they are operating pretty much on a very high capacity utilization. So that is not a challenge, and what we are really looking at is the challenge of, you know, price drop or expectation of the price drop from the customer vis-a-vis our situation of, you know, passing on the cost and thereby the price increase. So that is where this current struggle is, and we are working towards that.
Right. My last question, sir, on electrominerals. VAW, we did highlight it in the last quarter, we are already at 85%, and we are witnessing decent growth there. So any thought on CapEx there or any outlook you would like to give on the capacities in VAW?
No, as I said, in the previous question, you know, we are, you know, operating at, probably, you know, to the brim there, and we just added a cell last year, and we will not hesitate adding capacities. We will wait for some stability in the geopolitical situation before we start adding capacities. The normal CapEx programs that we do, besides the silicon carbide in terms of the refractories and abrasives, are all very much on, and that we have made an on-ground investment there.
How much is the capacity, sir, in VAW right now?
How much is that?
capacity in VAW?
Capacity is about 90,000 tons of silicon carbide.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Gupta from Varanium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, yes.
Sir. Yes, sir, I'm audible.
There's a lot of disturbances there.
Yeah, okay. So, I think right now, okay. Yeah, so, my question is more related to on the industry side. I'm audible, right?
Sir, if you are on a speaker, I would request you to come off from the speaker.
No, using handset. Yeah, so basically my question is related to the industry side where we are working on, you know, abrasive or minerals or your ceramics, industrial ceramics. So we are more on B2B products, right? So how do you see the B2B products is panning out in the premiumization story where the B2C products, which is all the consumer products, right? Which is goes to direct the end consumer. So they are all on the premiumization path. So where do you see in the next 5 years or maybe 10 years the B2B products segment, which is all using in the manufacturing side, right? So that's the story is panning out in India about the manufacturing story or this production, industrialization, this thing. So how do you see this thing?
Yeah, I think it's a great observation. I think India is witnessing a lot of investment in high-tech manufacturing as well as, some of the new tech industries coming into India. So definitely the B2B, what you call as industrial products, definitely will be in demand, and products that we have, practically we don't have any business to consumer type of a product.
Yeah.
We have all B2B, and probably a channel could be a different, but I think by and large it's a that type of application. And we see, I think, a great opportunity for a company like us in terms of the what India would present to us in the as it goes from, you know, from the current to, say, a third position as, you know, the government wants to by 2030, definitely a far more greater opportunity for companies like us will be there.
Okay, so the differentiation in the products will be on the basis of what can compare in some sort of cost.
Sorry to interrupt, the line for you is not very clear. We are losing your audio in between. May I request you to please use the handset while you're speaking?
Yes, I'm using the handset. Okay. Maybe there is an environment which not allow the connection better. But I'm trying to ask the question.
Okay.
The competitive advantage making in the B2B segment, which is more on relative to the cost effectiveness, right? On the basis of cost advantage, we can make the competitive advantage or anything we can introduce in this B2B segment. I'm asking overall industry, which is not abrasive. Maybe your bearings, maybe minerals or anything which is, you know, related to the manufacturing side. So I'm trying to get your broader view on this thing.
Yeah, I think, some of the businesses that we are all in, it requires a lot of processing and technology skill sets mm-hmm. are required. It's just not the cost which acts as a competitive advantage. Perhaps you start with cost as an advantage, but predominantly it's the value that we would create, both out of the technology as well as out of the processing capability. Plus the integrated value chain that we possess in terms of the minerals that we will have and which is manufactured by us helps us to get integrated into both the abrasives, ceramics and the factory products. So these are the, value opportunity that we would be able to create and bring the differentiation.
Okay, and just the last one is, how do they tackle this thing? The China or the other, let's say, manufacturing countries are dumping the product, you know. So how do we tackle in the long term? So that's something related to my previous question.
I will give a very generic response because we are in a very wide sector that we are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, you have to compete on the values and that's the only way you can compete, any country for that matter. And that is what we are working on.
The policy will be also beneficial if the governments are, implementing about the dumping part. So that will be helpful kind of thing.
All right. The government should work on, taking an active look at, anti-dumping support systems, which is, I think, a very good observation.
Okay. And I think in the long term, if let's say you as a company dumping your product in another country, right? Let's say you have 2 to 3 segments, you are dumping your products in another country. So in the long run, you will be beneficial in terms of financials or you will be, over long term, you will be devastated. Just a hypothetical question.
Yeah. I think I'm not getting your question right, but I think if you're asking us whether we will be going and dumping in some other country, the answer is no. That's not our interest, and probably we are not playing in those type of field. And our scales are not that high for us to start looking at dumping as a way to survive.
Okay, fair. Last line. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. The first question was more focused on Russia. Now, you talked about a constraint on the supply side, but assuming there is no constraint from a supply perspective, given where globally things are going in China plus one, what kind of growth, let's say on a 5-year block, can you see out of Russia?
Aditya, I wish we have able to do such kind of a forecast in a country like Russia. You would appreciate that it is amongst many things that's going on at this point in time. But what I can tell is that what is going in favor or Russia as a country has got a lot of minerals. This is not going to change overnight. And the demand for those minerals will continue to be there, irrespective of the political situation, that it is facing. And the cost positions that they have are really attractive. So these are core, I would say, values that are the advantage that Russia possesses at this point in time. And hence, I would like to look at it that way. And it is difficult for me to give a forecast, let's say, 5 years from now, what would be the growth. If things are, normal, I think we can definitely look at all possible ways to expand there. And this is a good place to, work on.
Understood. The second question that I had was again related. You talked about realizations from Russia going up. What are the kind of drivers kind of driving that thing up? Just want to get a sense of, because there's a mix change that is happening, and how much more realization growth can actually happen from here on if capacities are constrained?
So I think the way I would like you to look at it is that, so there's a demand inside Russia, right? And those demands were met by us as well as by imports. Now, the Russian government is also looking at similar to Atmanirbhar programs in terms of supporting the Russian industries as well as supporting the, you know, the consumption that should happen in a domestic manufactured industry. So, hence they are also looking at, you know, how can they support their ecosystem. And they are also facing in terms of, you know, sourcing products from outside of Russia. So obviously these things help at this point in time. So I would say that, you know, that's the reason, you know, we are also having a capability to change the mix and improve the mix in what we sell in Russia. And thereby we are able to continue to progress well.
Understood. The final question from my side, as in, first of all, congratulations for the new role at the company. From the perspective of how you see through the growth happening from here on, how much importance would you be giving to acquisitions from here on? I understand the integrated supply chain and how it kind of feeds inside. Does that make you more open to be doing acquisitions? And if you can give us some sense across segments, that will help us out.
Yeah, I think, Cumi has been doing, you know, acquisition, you know, based on the need it had and, you know, how that acquisition brought value to its existing positions. So I think if you ask me, I think we will continue that program and we will continue the program in terms of our core areas. That would be the, you know, area that we will look at it. Largely in terms of where it can add value in terms of the technology to support growth in, let's say, industrial ceramics in particular, and similarly some of the growth areas that we would look at it in terms of high-performing materials. These are areas where definitely we would look at it. And similarly, we are also looking at how should we revitalize the, our research setup and improve our capability and bring in, you know, let's say, not, you know, short-term objective, but really on a long-term, how Cumi can add value in terms of bringing products, a differentiated product through the research. This is something will be our focus going forward.
Understood. Many thanks for your answers. I'll let others ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for the follow-up. Sir, my question is on Plus Advanced Technologies. I think in the last annual report, you have mentioned quite a lot about what are the new products that you are developing over there, including those vacuum insulation box and one order that you have received from a power utility company as well. So could you give us some outline about what would be the growth drivers over there, what kind of growth that we are looking at, would that be in excess of more than 20-25% or not over the next 3 to 4 years, and what are the actions we are taking to become profitable over there? I think last time you had mentioned that for the full year FY24, that segment will become profitable. So are we on track with respect to that or not?
As far as Plus is concerned, they are working on multiple segments. The key focus segment is, building is one key focus area, which is basically how do you reduce the energy intensity of a building. Then the second area is the cold chain, which is largely, how do you supply products from, what is produced is efficiently supplied to the market. And there are current methods of serving them in terms of, reefer tracks type of model, and how do you make use of PCM as an alternate. Similarly, the other area is transportation of vaccines, transportation of medicines. All these areas augur well in terms of the PCM product applications. They also have polymer as the third vertical, that is also the key focus area. What currently they are doing is bringing out newer and newer applications and demonstrating to the customers in terms of, the use of it and convincing them to shift. And this is actually is a process that takes time because there's going to be an initial first cost which is going to be higher, but a lifetime cost is going to be lower. But also you are having a very, very green, conscious cost that you will have. But it takes time. In India, it's not going to be easy for converting from, a traditional solution to a solution like this, but that's what our team is working on. From a small base, their growth rates can be higher, and as I still feel that we should give them a couple of more years before we start presenting and reviewing them in terms of focus lens. People like you can start looking at that. So I would say it's something that we nurture at this point in time. Let's allow them that space and then we will wait for their growth.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. This is regarding the previous answer. So little confusion. You mentioned the SiC prices in Russia has been going up, but in the domestic E&D, you mentioned about drop in the realization. So if you could answer in two ways. One is the quantum of price increases in Russia and quantum of price drop in India over the last quarter in the YOY terms. And if you could just help us understand this better.
Yeah, I think it's a good observation. I think what we talk in India is largely alumina-based material, and what we are talking in Russia is the silicon carbide, and material coming from Russia into India is pretty expensive, and that's not to be compared. So here we are talking about materials coming from China into the Indian market and bringing the prices down. Basically, it's, I would say, not on a fair basis, but let's say it's a dumping that would happen. But I don't believe that, they can continue, keep on doing this. So we feel that we are able to match sometime the prices based on the volume, and we are able to continue to, keep the utilizations and capacities on stream. And that's why you are seeing that, you know, the growth there, margin improvement is there, and we feel that there will be also, you know, continued such programs. But at the same time, we are also moving, you know, a lot of value-added products that get supplied, which helps us to, you know, not based on a commodity-based discussion, but actually the value adds that we could bring down. So that's what we are currently working on.
Could you give us the price realization change YOY in this quarter, both in domestic and in Russia?
I'm sorry, sir. At this point, I'll not be able to discuss that.
No worries, sir. This last question is, what is the capital expenditure plan for the current and the next financial year? And how would that be across the three divisions?
So last year we spent about close to 300 crores as a consolidated capex spend. And we would generally we should be ballpark in that range this year as well.
And how would that be different across the three segments?
I would say for ease, I think you can take one-third, but it could be somewhere 25%, somewhere could be 35%, but ballpark is one-third.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you, Bhavis.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. What I just wanted to know is, when I really do understand that, you know, you are well backward integrated to the electromineral section for manufacturing of abrasives as well as certain ceramics as well. But I just wanted to know, like, in a terms of proportion, how much do you source in-house and how much is, you know, taken externally or bought externally as a percentage?
So, typically, let me call it about 25 to 30% would be sourced, our abrasive division would source from our electro-mineral, and the rest is all sourced outside.
Okay, so 25-30% is sourced internally in the abrasive segment, and the rest, everything is sourced from outside.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for that, sir. And so my next question is, when you did speak about the increasing Chinese competition in your abrasive segment as well as electro-mineral segment as well, especially towards the aluminum side. Now, I just wanted to know, the ceramics business also, I think around 50 to 60% is exports, and China is basically stepping up intensity there in terms of competitive intensity. So just wanted to know from your sense, how is the Chinese competition playing out in terms of the ceramics business there, in terms of global the global scenario? How are you seeing Chinese competition play out in your ceramics business?
So as far as the ceramic business is concerned, look, I think we have wear ceramics, and we have the other one as you know, the industrial ceramics side of it. There could be competition coming in the wear ceramic side of it, which is like, you know, base level ceramic that would be coming for protecting against the wear. But on the other side, we don't see a competition. Obviously, you know, on the wear side, we are definitely getting into the value-added solutions, like, you know, engineering solution plus, you know, supplying the entire rubber back ceramics, lined ceramics, all those are value-added products. So where you really work in terms of what the customer finally gets as a product, rather than looking at, you know, per kilogram of, you know, ceramic supplied. So that's how we work.
Sure, sir. And just a follow-up to that, I mean, you do also supply to emerging areas such as electric vehicles or SOFC and renewable energy. So there also, would you say the competition from China, the Chinese competition is minimal?
On the SOFC field, definitely we don't see that, and definitely it's very, very minimum. People actually, you know, work with you. The customers work with you for quite long time to, you know, be part of their design itself. It's not going to just a quick buying decision, but it takes time, first of all, to bring you on board, and then it's also going to take time for them to, you know, make any change. Hence I would say, you know, these are areas where, you know, people really compete on values.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. To ask a question, participants, you may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to understand one thing. You did mention about VS Ceramics and Technical. Any proportional breakup, if you can provide within Industrial Ceramics?
Normally we don't share this, Amit. I think, yeah.
Okay.
The proportion of Technical Ceramics on the higher side.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for being part of this call and actively participating in our business. Your questions and comments really help us in a lot of times. I would like to summarize here is that I think the performance of Q1 is really good, and Electrominerals, Ceramics, non-retail portion of Abrasives are performing well. Russia and South Africa is doing fine. AWUKO is progressing well. Softening of demand in Europe needs to be addressed as far as RHODIUS is concerned. The company is debt-free, and I think the margins are improving. We will have a reasonable growth for this year. I think with that, I would like to complete the call and looking forward to seeing you in the next call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.